There is a similar statement by Sri Krishna himself to Uddhava in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 27th chapter, verse 49. The Lord says there, quote, "My dear Uddhava, all persons are engaged in activities, whether those indicated in the revealed scriptures or ordinary worldly activities. If, by the result of either of such activities, they worship me in Krishna consciousness, then automatically they become very happy within this world, as well as in the next. Of this there is no doubt." Unquote. We can conclude from this statement by Krishna that activities in Krishna consciousness will give everyone all perfection in all desires. Thus, the Krishna consciousness movement is so nice that there is no need of even designating oneself Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyasi. Let everyone be engaged in whatever occupation he now has. Simply let him worship Lord Krishna by the result of his activities in Krishna consciousness. That will adjust the whole situation, and everyone will be happy and peaceful within this world. In the Narada Pancharatra, the regulative principles of devotional service are described as follows. Quote, "Any activities sanctioned in the revealed scriptures and aiming at the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are accepted by saintly teachers as the regulative principles of devotional service. If one regularly executes such service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, then gradually he rises to the platform of serving in pure love of God." And now chapter 3, eligibility of the candidate for accepting devotional service. On account of his association with Mahatmas, or great souls, 100% in the devotional service of the Lord, one may attain a little bit of attraction for Sri Krishna. But at the same time, one may remain very much attached to fruitive activities and material sense enjoyment, and not be prepared to undergo the different types of renunciation. Such a person, if he has unflinching attraction to Krishna, becomes an eligible candidate for discharging devotional service. This attraction for Krishna consciousness in association with pure devotees is the sign of great fortune. It is confirmed by Lord Chaitanya that only the fortunate persons, by the mercy of both a bona fide spiritual master and Krishna, will get the seed of devotional service. In this connection, Lord Krishna says in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 20th chapter, verse 8, quote, "My dear Uddhava, only by exceptional fortune does someone become attracted to me. And even if one is not completely detached from fruitive activities or is not completely attached to devotional service, such service is quickly effective." Unquote. Devotees may be divided into three classes. The devotee in the first or uppermost class is described as follows. He is very expert in the study of relevant scriptures, and he is also expert in putting forward arguments in terms of those scriptures. He can very nicely present conclusions with perfect discretion and can consider the ways of devotional service in a decisive way. He understands perfectly that the ultimate goal of life is to attain to the transcendental loving service of Krishna, and he knows that Krishna is the only object of worship and love. This first-class devotee is one who has strictly followed the rules and regulations under the training of a bona fide spiritual master, and has sincerely obeyed him in accord with revealed scriptures. Thus, being fully trained to preach and become a spiritual master himself, he is considered first class. The first class devotee never deviates from the principles of higher authority, and he attains firm faith in the scriptures by understanding with all reason and arguments. When we speak of arguments and reason, it means arguments and reason on the basis of revealed scriptures. The first class devotee is not interested in dry speculative methods meant for wasting time. In other words, one who has attained a mature determination in the matter of devotional service can be accepted as the first class devotee. The second class devotee has been defined by the following symptoms. He is not very expert in arguing on the strength of revealed scripture, but he has firm faith in the objective. The purport of this description is that the second class devotee has firm faith in the procedure of devotional service unto Krishna, but he may sometimes fail to offer arguments and decisions on the strength of revealed scripture to an opposing party. But at the same time, he is still undaunted within himself as to his decision that Krishna is the supreme object of worship. The neophyte or third class devotee is one whose faith is not strong and who, at the same time, does not recognize the decision of the revealed scripture. The neophyte's faith can be changed by someone else with strong arguments or by an opposite decision. Unlike the second class devotee, who also cannot put forward arguments and evidences from the scripture, but who still has all faith in the objective, the neophyte has no firm faith in the objective. Thus he is called the neophyte devotee. Further classification of the neophyte devotee is made in the Bhagavad Gita. It is stated there that four classes of men, namely those who are distressed, those who are in need of money, those who are inquisitive, and those who are wise, begin devotional service and come to the Lord for relief in the matter of their respective self-satisfaction. They go into some place of worship and pray to God for mitigation of material distress, or for some economic development, or to satisfy their inquisitiveness. And a wise man who simply realizes the greatness of God is also counted among the neophytes. Such beginners can be elevated to the second class or first class platform if they associate with pure devotees. An example of the neophyte class is Maharaj Dhruva. He was in need of his father's kingdom and therefore engaged himself in devotional service to the Lord. Then in the end, when he was completely purified, he declined to accept any material benediction from the Lord. Similarly, Gajendra was distressed and prayed to Lord Krishna for protection, after which he became a pure devotee. Similarly, Sanaka, Sanatan, Sananda, and Sanat Kumara were all in the category of wise, saintly persons, and they were also attracted by devotional service. A similar thing happened to the assemblage in the Naimasharanya forest, headed by the sage Shonaka. They were inquisitive and were always asking Suta Goswami about Krishna. Thus they achieved the association of a pure devotee and became pure devotees themselves. So that is the way of elevating oneself. In whatever condition one may be, if he is fortunate enough to associate with pure devotees, then very quickly he is elevated to the second class or first class platform. These four types of devotees have been described in the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and they have all been accepted as pious. Without becoming pious, no one can come to devotional service. It is explained in Bhagavad Gita that only one who has continually executed pious activities and whose sinful reactions in life have completely stopped can take to Krishna consciousness. Others cannot. The neophyte devotees are classified into four groups: the distressed, those in need of money, the inquisitive, and the wise, according to their gradations of pious activities. Without pious activities, if a man is in a distressed condition, he becomes an agnostic, a communist, or something like that. Because he does not firmly believe in God, he thinks that he can adjust his distressed condition by totally disbelieving in him. Lord Krishna, however, has explained in the Gita that out of these four types of neophytes, the one who is wise is very dear to him, because a wise man, if he is attached to Krishna, is not seeking an exchange of material benefits. A wise man who becomes attached to Krishna does not want any return from him, either in the form of relieving distress or in gaining money. This means that from the very beginning, his basic principle of attachment to Krishna is, more or less, love. Furthermore, due to his wisdom and study of shastras, or scriptures, he can understand also that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita that after many, many births, when one becomes actually wise, he surrenders unto Vasudeva, knowing perfectly well that Krishna, or Vasudeva, is the origin and cause of all causes. Therefore, he sticks to the lotus feet of Krishna and gradually develops love for him. Although such a wise man is very dear to Krishna, the others are also accepted as very magnanimous, because even though they are distressed or in need of money, they have come to Krishna for satisfaction. Thus, they are accepted as liberal, broad-minded Mahatmas. Without being elevated to the position of a jnani or wise man, one cannot stick to the principle of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The less intelligent, or those whose intelligence has been taken away by the spell of Maya, are attached to different demigods on account of the influence of the modes of nature. The wise man is he who has thoroughly understood that he is spirit soul and not simply a body. Because he realizes that he is spirit and Krishna is the Supreme Spirit, he knows that his intimate relationship should be with Krishna, not with this body. The distressed and the man in want of money are in the material concept of life, because distress and need of money are both in relationship with this body. One who is inquisitive may be a little above the distressed and the man in need of money, but still he is on the material platform. But a wise man who seeks Krishna knows perfectly well that he is spirit soul or Brahman, and that Krishna is the Supreme Spirit Soul or Parabrahman. He knows that the spirit soul, being subordinate and finite, should always dovetail himself with the infinite and supreme soul, Krishna. That is the relationship of the wise man with Krishna. It can be concluded that a person who is freed from the bodily concept of life is an eligible candidate for pure devotional service. It is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita that after Brahman realization, When one is freed from material anxieties and can see every living entity on an equal level, he is eligible to enter into devotional service. As stated before, there are three kinds of happiness: material, spiritual, and devotional. Devotional service and the happiness due to its execution are not possible as long as one is materially affected. If someone has desire for material enjoyment or for becoming one with the Supreme, these are both considered material concepts. Because the impersonalists cannot appreciate the spiritual happiness of association and the exchange of loving affairs with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their ultimate goal is to become one with the Lord. This concept is simply an extension of the material idea. In the material world, everyone is trying to be the topmost head man among all his fellow men or neighbors. Either communally, socially, or nationally, everyone is competing to be greater than all others in the material concept of life. This greatness can be extended to the unlimited, so that one actually wants to become one with the greatest of all, the Supreme Lord. This is also a material concept, although maybe a little more advanced. However, the perfect spiritual concept of life is complete knowledge of one's constitutional position, in which one knows enough to dovetail himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. One must know that he is finite and that the Lord is infinite. Thus, it is not possible to actually become one with the Lord even if one aspires for this. It is simply not possible. Therefore, anyone who has any desire or aspiration for satisfying his senses by becoming more and more important, either in the material sense or in the spiritual sense, cannot actually relish the really sweet taste of devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami has therefore compared possessing these bhukti or material and mukti or liberation desires with being influenced by the black art of a witch. In both cases, one is in trouble. Bhukti means material enjoyment, and mukti means to become freed from material anxiety and to become one with the Lord. These desires are compared to being haunted by ghosts and witches, because while these aspirations for material enjoyment or spiritual oneness with the Supreme remain, no one can relish the actual transcendental taste of devotional service. A pure devotee never cares for liberation. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed to Krishna, quote, "My dear son of Nanda, I do not want any material happiness in the shape of many followers, nor immense opulence in wealth, nor any beautiful wife, nor do I want cessation from material existence. I may take birth many times, one after another, but what I pray from you is that my devotion unto you may always remain unflinching." Unquote. The attention of a pure devotee is so much attracted to glorification of the Lord's pastimes, name, qualities, forms, etc., that the devotee does not care for mukti. Sri Bilva Mangala Thakur has said, quote, "If I am engaged in devotional service unto you, my dear Lord, then very easily can I perceive your presence everywhere. And as far as liberation is concerned, I think liberation stands at my door with folded hands waiting to serve me." Unquote. To pure devotees, therefore, liberation and spiritual emancipation are not very important things. In this connection, in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 25, verse 36, Kapila Dev has advised his mother, Devahuti, as follows. Quote, "My dear mother, my pure devotees are charmed by seeing my different forms, the beauty of my face, the structure of my body so enchanting. My laughing, my pastimes, and my glance appear to them so beautiful that their minds are always absorbed in thoughts of me and their lives are dedicated fully unto me. Although such people do not desire any kind of liberation or any kind of material happiness, still I give them a place among my associates in the supreme abode." Unquote. This evidence from Srimad Bhagavatam gives assurance to the pure devotee of being elevated to association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Rupa Goswami remarks in this connection that one who is actually attracted by the beauty of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna or his service, and whose heart, by such attraction, is always full with transcendental bliss, will naturally never aspire after the liberation which is so valuable to the impersonalists. A similar passage is also there in the third canto, fourth chapter, verse 15 of the same book, wherein Uddhava addresses Lord Krishna and says, quote, "My dear Lord, for persons who are engaged in your transcendental loving service, there is nothing worth obtaining from religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, or liberation, although happiness from these different sources can be very easily had by them. In spite of such facilities, my dear Lord, I do not aspire to achieve any such results. My only prayer is that I may have unflinching faith and devotion unto your lotus feet." Unquote. A similar passage appears in the third canto, 25th chapter, verse 34, wherein Kapiladeva instructs his mother and says, quote, "My dear mother, devotees whose hearts are always filled in the service of my lotus feet and who are prepared to do anything for my satisfaction, especially those fortunate devotees who assemble together to understand my qualities, pastimes, and form, and thus glorify me congregationally and derive transcendental pleasure therefrom, never desire to become one with me. And what to speak of becoming one with me if they are offered a post like mine in my abode, or opulence like mine, or even personal association with me with similar bodily features, they refuse to accept, because they are satisfied simply by being engaged in my devotional service." Unquote. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 9th chapter, verse 10, King Dhruva says, quote, "My dear Lord, the transcendental pleasure derived by meditation upon your lotus feet, which is enjoyed by the pure devotees, cannot be approached by the transcendental pleasure derived by the impersonalists through self-realization. So how can the fruitive workers, who at most can aspire to promotion to the higher heavenly planets, understand you, and how can they be described as enjoying a happiness similar to the devotee's happiness?" Unquote. And now chapter 4, devotional service surpasses all liberation. Lokanam hitakaranam tribhuvane mannam saranyakanam. How much a devotee is seriously attached to the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be understood from the statement of Maharaj Prithu or Adiraj, which is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 20th chapter, verse 24. He prays to the Supreme Personality of Godhead thus, quote, "My dear Lord, if after taking liberation, I have no chance of hearing the glories of your Lordship, glories chanted by pure devotees from the core of their hearts in praise of your lotus feet, and if I have no chance for this honey of transcendental bliss, then I shall never ask for liberation or this so-called spiritual emancipation. I shall simply always pray unto your Lordship that you may give me millions of tongues and millions of ears so that I can constantly chant and hear of your transcendental glories." Unquote. The impersonalists desire to merge into the existence of the Supreme, but without keeping their individuality, they have no chance of hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord. Because they have no idea of the transcendental form of the Supreme Lord, there is no chance of their chanting and hearing of his transcendental activities. In other words, unless one is already beyond liberation, one cannot relish the transcendental glories of the Lord, nor can one understand the transcendental form of the Lord. A similar statement is found in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 14th chapter, verse 44. Shukdev Goswami addresses Parikshit Maharaj there and says, quote, "The great soul, King Bharat, was so much attached to the service of the lotus feet of Krishna that he very easily gave up his lordship over the earthly planet and his affection for his children, society, friends, royal opulence, and beautiful wife. He was so very lucky that the goddess of fortune was pleased to offer him all kinds of material concessions, but he never accepted any of these material opulences." Unquote. Shukdev Goswami praises this behavior of King Bharat very highly. He says, quote, "Any person whose heart is attracted by the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Madhusudana, does not care even for that liberation which is aspired to by many great sages, what to speak of material opulences." Unquote. In the Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 11th chapter, verse 25, there is a similar statement by Vritrasura, who addresses the Lord as follows, quote, "My dear Lord, by leaving your transcendental service, I may be promoted to the planet called Dhruva Loka, or the Pole Star, or I may gain lordship over all the planetary systems of the universe. But I do not aspire to this, nor do I wish the mystic perfections of yoga practice, nor do I aspire to spiritual emancipation. All I wish for, my Lord, is your association and transcendental service eternally." Unquote. This statement is confirmed by Lord Shiva in Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 17th chapter, verse 28, wherein Lord Shiva addresses Sati thus, quote, "My dear Sati, persons who are devoted to Narayan or Krishna are not afraid of anything. If they are elevated to the higher planetary systems, or if they get liberation from material contamination, or if they are pushed down to the hellish condition of life, or, in fact, in any situation whatever, they are not afraid of anything, simply because they have taken shelter of the lotus feet of Narayan. For them, any position in the material world is as good as another." Unquote. There is a similar statement by Indra, the King of Heaven, in Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 18th chapter, verse 74. There, Indra addresses Mother Diti in this manner, quote, "My dear Mother, persons who have given up all kinds of desire and are simply engaged in devotional service to the Lord know what is actually their self-interest. Such persons are actually serving their self-interests and are considered first-class experts in the matter of advancing to the perfectional stage of life. Unquote. In the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, sixth chapter, verse 25, Maharaj Prahlad says, quote, "My dear friends born into atheistic families, if you can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, then there is nothing more rare in this world. In other words, if the Supreme Lord Krishna is pleased with you, then any desire you may have within the core of your heart can be fulfilled without any doubt. As such, what is the use of elevating yourself by the results of fruitive activities, which are automatically achieved in all events by the modes of material nature? And what is the use for you of spiritual emancipation or liberation from material bondage? If you are always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord and always relishing the nectar of the lotus feet of the Lord, then there is no necessity for any of these." Unquote. By this statement of Prahlad Maharaj, it is clearly understood that one who takes pleasure in chanting and hearing the transcendental glories of the Lord has already surpassed all kinds of material benedictions, including the results of pious, fruitive activities, sacrifices, and even liberation from material bondage. Similarly, in the same seventh canto, eighth chapter, verse 42, when the demigods are offering prayers to Lord Nrsimha, Indra, the king of heaven, says, quote, "O Supreme One, these demons talk of our share of participation in the performances of ritualistic sacrifices. But simply by your appearance as Lord Nrsimhadev, you have saved us from terrible fears. Actually, our shares in the sacrificial performances are due to you only, because you are the supreme enjoyer of all sacrifices. You are the supersoul of every living entity, and therefore you are the actual owner of everything. Long were our hearts always filled with fear of this demon, Hiranyakasipu. But you are so kind toward us that by killing him, you have removed that fear from within our hearts and have given us the chance to place your lordship within our hearts again. For persons who are engaged in the transcendental loving service of your lordship, all the opulences which were taken away from us by the demons are counted as nothing. Devotees do not care even for liberation, what to speak of these material opulences. Actually, we are not enjoyers of the fruits of sacrifices. Our only duty is to always be engaged in your service, for you are the enjoyer of everything." Unquote. The purport of this statement by Indra is that beginning from Brahma down to the insignificant ant, no living entities are meant for enjoying the material opulences. They are simply meant for offering everything to the Supreme Proprietor, the Personality of Godhead. By doing so, they automatically enjoy the benefit. The example can be cited again of the different parts of the body collecting foodstuffs and cooking them so that ultimately a meal may be offered to the stomach. After it has gone to the stomach, all the parts of the body equally enjoy the benefit of the meal. So similarly, everyone's duty is to satisfy the Supreme Lord, and then automatically everyone will become satisfied. A similar verse is found in the eighth canto, third chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 20. Gajendra says there, quote, "My dear Lord, I have no experience of the transcendental bliss derived from your devotional service. So therefore, I have asked from you some favor. But I know that persons who are pure devotees and have, by serving the lotus feet of great souls, become freed from all material desires, are always merged in the ocean of transcendental bliss, and as such, are always satisfied simply by glorifying your auspicious characteristics. For them, there is nothing else to aspire to or pray for." Unquote. In the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam, fourth chapter, verse 67, the Lord of Vaikuntha replies to Durvasa Muni thus, quote, "My pure devotees are always satisfied being engaged in devotional service, and therefore they do not aspire even after the five liberated stages, which are 1. To be one with me, 2. To achieve residence on my planet, 3. To have my opulences, 4. To possess bodily features similar to mine, and 5. To gain personal association with me. So when they are not interested even in these liberated positions, you can know how little they care for material opulences or material liberation." Unquote. There is a similar prayer by the Nagapatnis, or the wives of the Kaliya serpent, in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 16th chapter, verse 37. The Nagapatnis say there, quote, "Dear Lord, the dust of your lotus feet is very wonderful. Any person who is fortunate enough to achieve this dust does not care for heavenly planets, lordship over all the planetary systems, the mystic perfections of yoga, or even liberation from material existence. In other words, anyone who adores the dust of your lotus feet does not care a fig for all other perfectional stages." Unquote. There is a similar statement in the 10th canto, 87th chapter, verse 21, wherein the Shrutis, the Vedas personified, pray to the Lord as follows, quote, "Dear Lord, it is very difficult to understand spiritual knowledge. Your appearance here, just as you are, is to explain to us this most difficult subject of knowledge of the Spirit. As such, your devotees who have left their domestic comforts to associate with the liberated acharyas or teachers are now fully merged in the devotional service of your lordship, and thus they do not care for any so-called liberation." Unquote. In explaining this verse, it should be noted that spiritual knowledge means understanding the self and the supersoul or super-self. The individual soul and the supersoul are qualitatively one, and therefore both of them are known as Brahman or spirit. But knowledge of Brahman is very difficult to understand. There are so many philosophers engaged in the matter of understanding the soul, but they are unable to make any tangible advancement. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita that out of many millions of persons, only one may try to understand what is spiritual knowledge, and out of many such persons who are trying to understand, only one or a few may know what is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this verse says that spiritual knowledge is very difficult to achieve. And so in order to make it more easily attainable, the Supreme Lord Himself comes in His original form as Sri Krishna and gives His instruction directly to an associate like Arjuna, just so that the people in general may take advantage of this spiritual knowledge. This verse also explains that liberation means having completely given up all the material comforts of life. Those who are impersonalists are satisfied by simply being liberated from the material circumstances, But those who are devotees can automatically give up material life and also enjoy the transcendental bliss of hearing and chanting the wonderful activities of Lord Krishna. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 20th chapter, verse 34, Lord Krishna says to Uddhava, quote, "My dear Uddhava, the devotees who have completely taken shelter of my service are so steadfast in devotional service that they have no other desire. Even if they are offered the four kinds of spiritual opulences, they will refuse to accept them. So what to speak of their desiring anything within the material world?" Unquote. Similarly, Lord Krishna says in another passage of the Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 14th chapter, verse 14, quote, "My dear Uddhava, a person whose consciousness is completely absorbed in my thought and activities does not aspire even to occupy the post of Brahma or the post of Indra or the post of lordship over the planets, or the eight kinds of mystic perfections, or even liberation itself." Unquote. In the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th chapter, verse 6, Lord Shiva says to Devi, quote, "My dear Devi, this great Brahmin sage, Markandeya, has attained unflinching faith and devotion unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as such, he does not aspire after any benedictions, including liberation from the material world." Unquote. Similarly, there is a statement in Padma Purana describing the ritualistic function during the month of Kartik, or October-November. During this month in Vrindavan, it is the regulative principle to pray daily to Lord Krishna in his Damodar form. The Damodar form refers to Krishna in his childhood when he was tied up with rope by his mother, Yashoda. Dama means ropes, and Udara means the abdomen. So Mother Yashoda, being very disturbed by naughty Krishna, bound him round the abdomen with a rope, and thus Krishna is named Damodar.